Blog Talk Radio.
I just shut up.
Good start right there, man. At least we're bearing our souls on the air. Everything's good. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars for our broadcast of 6/30/21. Hope everybody is doing well. I am your pseudo-host filling in for Dr. John Thamey, Dave Atwell this evening. Hope everybody out there is doing well and is safe. We have got a wonderful panel and a wonderful show ahead of us this evening. So as I do an audio check and work on that kind of good stuff, I am going to pass it around to our panel for introductions. And I'm going to ask my panel while I monkey with this device here, trying to do a little Bluetooth's action. See, there's a difference between Bluetooth and Bluetooth's. So in the event that I go away all of a sudden, somebody shoot me a text and let me know that I have been abducted or reduced or gone. Nevertheless, we're going to go around the room real quick and introduce everybody. So first off, temporarily out of her home of Arkansas, out doing the good moose thing, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening?
I'm well, sir. Thank you for asking. It's been a long last couple days, but we made it safely and soundly, getting ready for our meetings tomorrow in Cincinnati at the Duke Energy Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And I am actually in the process right now of some of us ladies at the registration area, they're going to be wearing those inflatable costumes to greet everybody. I'm actually wearing inflatable hats, and I'm in the process of airing up my inflatable hat. I have a Uncle Sam red, white, and blue hat that I'm going to wear tomorrow, and I have antlers that I'm going to wear with, it's a ring toss thing, and I'm going to see how many people can get the ring toss on my antlers tomorrow.
Got to have some moose antlers now. You know that.
Well, you know, they're actually like reindeer antlers, but they'll work. They'll work.
I'd love to have a pair of them just so I could walk around going, "Hey, Rocky, let's pull a rabbit out of my hat." And for those of us old enough to know who the hell that was.
Man.
So, Granny, we're losing you. Are you still with us?
I'm here.
Granny.
I'm here. I may have to go outside.
All right, Granny.
I don't know.
Oh, there you
are. I'm in my room, but I may have to go outside. I don't know. I talked to somebody earlier in my phone. I didn't have no problem, so.
File a missing persons report for you. Well, Granny, not to be impolite, I am going to move over to the next one.
Move along.
So we can know
along.
You're out there. I heard a little bit of you, but we're going to pass it around. It's good to hear you safe out there and you're good to go and all charged up for your meetings and everything, doing the good that the Moose Lodges do for this country. So, coming back to us after a couple weeks' worth of absence with a lot of good news, we've missed this young man. Tim, what is going on? Good to have you back tonight.
It is good to be back. I'm chilling outside on the porch. It's been a while since I've done that on the show. Yep, it's been several weeks, actually, since I've been on here. That, my wife, the good news, she had that good old brain surgery, and everything went fine, so it's just the recovery road. And she's been doing great. My hat's off to her. I'm proud of her for going through that. So far, everything has been successful. Each day is a day, we take it a day at a time. She's doing wonderful, and everything seems to be great. So, with that being said, everything else is going good. Still working from home, thanks to taking care of the wife, and looking forward to a good show tonight. So I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. Nothing but good to hear that that the wife is doing well, and the whole Armstrong clan is circling the wagons and taking care of each other as they should be. And, yeah, man, it's good to have you back, and even better to have the good news and everything. And we definitely were thinking about you the whole time, and glad to hear everything's coming along swimmingly. And hopefully that'll continue on, and, you know, this time next year we'll do a show next year doing the same topic and look back and go, wow, this is how far we've come. So, yeah, good to hear you doing well and the family. So, last but certainly not least, always in the anchor position when I'm doing the announcements and the introductions, or better yet, Todd, my brother, how are you doing this evening?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. Hope everyone is doing well. Over.
Yeah, certainly good to hear your voice, have you aboard this evening and everything. Now, we will be without the services of the amazing Velvet tonight, who was in an accident, and he is currently recovering, getting some rest. He is doing very well. But, of course, when you get a little shook up and that kind of stuff, you need a little time to relax and don't need the harassment from all of us wise-asses on pop culture stars. So Velvet will be sitting out tonight, passing on the best wishes to him, and hoping he's feeling much better. Again, before I start on tonight, can everybody hear me okay, just in case?
Dave, where'd you go?
Yeah, I can hear you. But I think, okay. You know, on a technical point here, I think that Granny was talking a couple times, and I could hear her, but you couldn't. So we might have an issue on the actual line or something. I don't know. But I don't think it's just Granny.
Yeah, because now I could hear you guys. I know all three of you were breaking up on my end, so I'm kind of concerned that it might be me. So in the event that I start doing the in-and-out stuff, I'm not trying to make you happy. If you would, just let me know so that way we can have a decent broadcast tonight and not sound like that. So so tonight's topic is one of my favorite ones, hands down.
Hold on. We got somebody. Hold one moment. We got somebody in the queue.
Uh-oh. Well, let's go on in there to Atwell Manor. Let's backtrack here. Dun, 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 dun. Man, I was going to say I should have put a disclaimer out there for NC-17 language as I entered the house just in case I walked into something. There we go. Who's that joining us this evening?
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, golly.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Good to have you aboard. How are you?
Oh, wow, just Jim Dandy. Just Jim Dandy. Just looking forward to the 4th of July, just like you all. And just much-needed R&R.
Outstanding. Yeah, yes, catching a little bit of a – yeah. And you can't go wide open every day of the week. Got to ease off a little bit. So, yeah, definitely good to have you aboard this evening, man.
Oh, same here. I'm now, Mr. Guys.
Tonight's topic, we are going to be speaking on how wonderful this country is. And we are celebrating our 245th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence from the Crown and the salty British lady. And despite there being the cliche of cheering against the home team now and, you know, talking about how bad this country is, I want to flip that around because all I know is that I see a lot of good things happening here every day. And I see people pulling together, and I see a lot of success, and I see a lot of happiness despite what the media might tell us. And it's got everything to do with the blessing we have of independence. And so, with that being said, want to go ahead and open up the forum and everything to everybody. And just kind of start it off with what is it? You know, we all have particular appreciations and everything for the country and everything. But what's something in particular that kind of, you know, that you think of regularly that's like, wow, you know, this is the only place on the planet I can do this. So anybody out there want to start off?
We're wrong with something unique. It's one of the few countries on the planet that has an all-volunteer force for its military. Start thinking about different countries and the rules on how that one works for them. And I'm not saying all of them are bad. There's a certain country that comes to mind that lost 50% of its women, 50% of its children when it was invaded. And they're not going to get caught. They do not intend to get caught short again. So they have compulsory military service. They're the same ones. They don't play this, hey, well, I'm going to college. Well, tough shit, pal. When you come back out of college, you're going to the military. There's none of this politically connected get out of the game stuff. So, yeah, so I just think that's I'll run with not exactly the question, but that's a unique feature of our country. Over. That means anybody can respond at this point?
Oh, no, I was getting the bad audio again. I'm sorry, Todd. No, I absolutely agree because that's a very good point. That's not spoken enough of. There's a lot of places out there where you learn how to swing a machete before you learn how to read. And here in the United States, we certainly don't have that. And we don't have a draft, much to your point. And it does give you the autonomy of deciding whether you want to serve your country in a certain branch of the military or, you know, what have you. And, you know, for some, that's a blessing. For others, it's an honor, and which makes us very unique. I believe it's Israel that everybody has to do 4 years, male and female, if I'm not mistaken, right?
More than one, yeah. More than one. I was actually as referenced in South Korea for those that weren't tracking over.
Ah. Yeah, that's... But it's because of our military, and I think that's got a lot to do with our principles and everything here, how we're able to give everybody a chance to be who they want to be versus being kind of set on a path from birth and told exactly what you're going to be and how long you're going to do it and for what reason. So, yeah, that's a very good point. Very well said, Todd. Now, I can speak for myself. I'm out here looking over the land and looking over my garden and my overly productive peach tree I have over here, and I'm burning my cigar and I'm drinking me a beer and breeze is blowing and everything, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, on this planet, there's an acre of property that's mine. And I decided to put plants in here and grow vegetables. And I put in a peach tree, and now I'm growing fruit. You know, there's a whole lot of places on this planet that you'll never get this opportunity, no matter how successful you might be. And home ownership, land ownership, and the ability to hang a picture wherever the hell I want it in this house is something unique. And there are countries out there that, you know, make you hang a picture of the leadership over your dinner table. And we don't do that here in the United States. And depending on who's in the White House, I'm very thankful for that. But nevertheless, I am able to say at 51 years old that I own my vehicles, you know, I own my land, I own my house, and maybe perhaps that had I been born in a different country or a different continent, I'd never have the same opportunity. So, yeah, it's certainly hits close to home just by standing out here and enjoying the evening with y'all. Just how important it is, independence and supporting the independence and not trashing the country and not carrying on about it. It's very important that you appreciate what you have because there's a lot of places on the planet that don't have it. So Tim, have you got anything on there, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say this, I guess, could be indirectly related to Independence Day, but you know, I think to really answer that question, you have to, the people that can appreciate what we have here are the ones who have been in different countries. And the one of the couple different times that I did was on a mission trip. Granny, yeah. I think you got a hot mic.
Granny, you got the hot mic.
Oh, I was just listening.
You know, I'd been to Costa Rica on a mission trip, and just the difference, you know, I spent a week there and came back, and I mean, it was night and day. It was so incredibly intense coming back. It was just a bit of shell shock, and you go to places like that, and I mean, they've got like, it's basically like there's villages that they build just out of scrap of whatever they can find. I'm not joking. And it didn't even look like that going into the airport. So, you know, I had been there and got adjusted and helped where I could and came back. And the day I came back, the next day, we had already got tickets for a football game here in town. It was the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Giants. And I'm walking downtown, and it just hit me like I looked around, and it was – so wild because, you know, most of those people that were walking in there just had no clue of what anything was like outside of USA or America at that point. You know, I had just come back from Costa Rica and I could look around and I was just like, my God, look at all this stuff that we've got. These buildings aren't just, they didn't just make a building as big as they needed. They like went all out. There's bells and whistles and lights all around us. We've got places like Las Vegas that are totally lit up and you go and gamble and do whatever you want, you know. I mean, there's places all over this country that make it so unique, and, you know, that's just kind of, that's what sticks out to me. I'll never forget that day I came back from being in Costa Rica that next day and going to that football game and just, you know, appreciating what we really have here. And, you know, tying that all together, 4th of July is just another one of those times when you remember what we went through to get here and those people that sacrifice, you know, the ultimate sacrifice and whatnot, in the way, you know? So, yeah.
I kid you not, some have more audio for our quality of living.
Yeah.
Yeah. When my folks went on their first cruise, they went to, I think, Jamaica and Virgin Islands, and I know they went, I think it was St. Thomas, and there was another one they went to. But Mom was so excited about getting out of the country. Unlike Dad was in the, you know, Marine Corps for 30 years, she was so excited to be leaving the country and, you know, going out into the Caribbean and all that kind of good stuff. So she came back, and, you know, They gave me the call. They said, hey, we're back home. We're safe and everything. And I said, oh, so, you know, you enjoy the trip? And My mom said, I'm so glad to be back to the United States. I says, you didn't enjoy yourself? She's had a time of my life. She says, but she says, you have no idea what we have. And, you know, she just told me a few things that they had ran into, a few things that they had seen, and, you know, and it's humbling, you know, the things you take for granted, and in other countries, you know, it's normal business. You know, several things to think of, and not to be morbidly to the point, but when you think about toiletries, I mean, here in the United States, we take pride in our heads. That is my sanctuary when I can go into the bathroom and do whatever I want cleanly. Don't get any ideas. But there's a lot of places on this planet where the bathroom is wherever you're standing. You know, the water we have in our toilets here in the United States, cleaner than drinking water in a lot of places. You know, other countries, you know, people see a dead body here in the United States and they vapor lock and they have to go to, you know, therapy for grief and, you know, coping mechanisms and everything because they saw a dead body. There are places on this planet that seeing a dead body on the side of the road is just, you know, if you only see one, it's a good day. So, yeah, very good point. Very good point, Tim. So, Stro.
Yeah, that's why. I was going to follow up on. I was going to follow up what you were saying, that there are some places, parts of the world where the water's so bad, they have to. That's why you see a lot of pubs, and bars, and alcohol and all that, because, I mean, like, a lot of the water is not that fitable to drink. For, say, parts of Europe and Mexico. And places like that, you know. So, I mean, we're really fortunate to have good water to drink here in the States.
Yeah, we and that's what grinds my gears about these people who want to gripe about this country, because they forget the little things. You know, drinking water, you know, door locks, windows, things. You know, we actually have, you know, building inspectors here that will come look at, you know, if you put a deck on your house, an inspector will come and make sure that it's in good shape before they allow you to walk on it. You know, in other countries, somebody's just hammering together some, you know, as Tim alluded to, just, you know, hammering together whatever's there available, and that's your house. You know, so at any given moment, a wind or any other kind of calamity might put that thing down on top of you. So most definitely. Most definitely. So, Shro,
yeah,
you've got
the
old
water runs the world, basically.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Now, you're living the old American success story. And, you know, we've joked in the past that I, you know, recall you in high school. You used to walk around. You always ate up with the wrestling scene. And, yeah, man, I'm going to be a wrestler. And we're all like, yeah, shut up, Rob. And here you are. Been there, done that, and, you know, that right there, again, it's not something that that happens in other places. So, Stro, take the floor. Tell us about being thankful for what we got here in the United States.
You know, regardless, good and bad, this country is still the greatest country in the world, in my humble opinion, and we have the greatest people in the world. The largest militia in the world, which is us. We have the freedoms, like you all just mentioned, to do different things more than other countries. We have the best protection in the world with our military. And it's because of our military that and the people that have risked their lives for us that we can enjoy all the freedoms that we have. And every day we have the choice to go to a ball game or watch our favorite television show or hang out with our family. And like you said, enjoy nature and life. You know, we should thank each one of the men and women that died for us so we can have those freedoms. So, and yeah, wrestling around different countries and seeing what goes on over the years has made me appreciate the living in the United States that much more, and just even more proud to be an American and to enjoy the freedoms that we have together.
No doubt. No doubt at all. And well said, because there is. And I mean, it's funny how the military still to this day, sometimes I feel the appreciation they get sometimes is cliched more than it is genuine. And, you know, that bothers me because, you know, we had a show here, gosh, what was it, two or three shows ago when we did kind of like a what if. And, you know, we spoke, actually it was our show honoring D-Day at the beginning of the month on June 6th. And, you know, we were speaking on the importance of that invasion and how it turned things around. And, you know, there's, if you look in the short 245-year history of this country, there's been a lot of times when the United States and its servicemen and women came in there and not only protected the country, but saved the world. And, you know, there's more than one occasion where, had there not been American intervention, and for crying out loud, even the American Revolution, the War of Independence in itself, you know, I think there's only, and Todd, you could probably back me up on this one, I think there's only like 7 or 8 countries in the world that the British haven't colonized or tried to colonize in history sometime, if I'm not mistaken. And that being said, when the American Revolution happened, it stymied British colonization, you know, just almost dead. Now, the Brits continued to push things forward in other regions and everything, but it wasn't the way, it never returned to the way it was. And if you stop and look at all the stuff that the United States has done stepping in and helping foreign countries during their conflicts and everything, it's priceless. And it took American servicemen and women to get it done. So, yeah, that's certainly a good point, Stro. Well said. Now, Granny, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, did you want to go ahead and throw in? What? Gotcha. Tell us something you appreciate about this wonderful nation.
Well, I just appreciate all the men and the women that have served for us to keep our country safe and our country free, and all the men and women that served, you know, in the past. You know, of course, my grandfather and my father were both military. My brother was Army. They were all my, and my uncle was Army. So I just appreciate all the men and women that have fought countries and, you know, to keep us free. And, you know, I'm thankful for my family and I'm thankful for my good friends. And I'm just, I'm proud to be a United States citizen. I'm proud to be living in this country, you know, and God bless the USA. Lee Greenwood, my
Absolutely.
Favorite, one of my favorite songs.
Right.
Yeah, it's, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was just saying, right, she was definitely channeling some Lee Greenwood in that. I was already thinking it before you said it. I like it.
Yeah, it's something else watching people these days, how, and I call it social regurgitation is what I call it. And every so many years, we as a society kind of go through this flux, if you will. And, you know, right now the United States is kind of going through it where there are people out there, you know, casting us off as the bad guys. And somewhere along the line, we developed a we somehow or another turned our priorities and started to cherish failure more than we did success. and started villainizing success. And, you know, what is success? Glad you asked. Success is winning our independence. Success is invention. Success is forward thinking and forward motion. There are countries in this world that have thousands of years of a head start on us. And, you know, these folks are living in holes, drinking dirty water. Go ahead.
No, it's a hot mic again.
Oop. Yeah.
Got my hot mic. Hot mic. And you guys bear with me if there's some dead air. I'm still trying to get this audio thing straightened out. I got a feeling Blog Talk might be the culprit. Tim might have called it because it is. It's an in-and-out thing, and it can't all be all of us standing in a dead spot. So, nevertheless, appreciate the patience tonight. But, yeah, there's a lot, and not to go into the current events thing, but this young lady – who was the, what was it, the hammer throw, some sort, anyhow, that wanted to turn her back on the national anthem and yak, yak, yak. You were the third place, honey. And the first and second place stood there proudly with their hand over their hearts and listened to the anthem and appreciated that wonderful song that, you know, for what it is. And she is not being received well for her actions, and as it should be. There are countries.
I'm going to jump in on this just a wee bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know some have called, say, kick her off the team or whatever. Look, I ain't digging her, I ain't endorsing her. But, there's not a lot of countries that somebody can do that. I'm just saying.
What is it?
Gene Larson. Gene Larson.
Uh-huh.
He's in 435.
Well, you know, you've got to have, and I understand freedom of speech and all that kind of stuff.
But
Granny, have you got a mute button for me, sweetie? Have you got a mute button for me, though?
I don't have the mute button on. I'm here.
Uh-oh. Okay. No, we just got a hot mic. We're picking up everything on you, and your whole business is getting out there to the nation. So,
well, I had it on mute. I had it on mute.
Oh, okay. All right. I think we're good. Granny's out there talking about her Social Security number and everything, and the whole world's going to pick it up. So we just want to make sure Granny is safe. But, yeah, it's what's amazing about this is that and I'll go on and say something, too, is that the media will lead you to believe that this whole country is coming apart and will lead you to believe that everybody hates this country. That's not true. And if you stop and look around and you look at the people you work with and the people you interact with on a daily basis, you will notice that there's a lot of people out there just like us that appreciate what they got. They try their best to help each other out. They're doing the right thing. And this country isn't coming apart like Hollywood or the news would try to tell you. This country is actually coming together. And it's the nitwits that are making so much noise out there would lead you to believe that we're falling apart. But the truth is, the more noise they make, the more together we get. And I think that's what the magical thing about the American spirit is that country's based on wanting things better. and not settling for what's given to us. You know what I mean? It's that desire to have a better day than the day before. And, you know, we'll go on back to the colonial times. You know, if you think that the colonies were the only ones dealing with taxation and slavery and everything else, you're wrong. Everybody that was in British colonialism was dealing with it. And it just so happens that, you know, the people here on this side of the world got together, joined together, and said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore, and bravely fought, and with God's grace, won our independence. So, you know, and oddly enough, and it's been said a million times over, so I'll make it a million one, for all the things that's broken here in the United States that's claimed to be broken and torn all to pieces, there are hundreds of thousands of people risking it all to get in this country. You know, some of the stuff you hear these other countries where families just pretty much grab up what they can stuff in their pockets, and they head here, be it on foot, plane, over on boats, what have you, and they get here, and the next thing you know, they're owning stores, and they're in college, and they're doing stuff to make things better. It's because they realize just how good it is here versus other places. And for anybody who's willing to pack up their family and everything they own and just kind of risk it all, says a lot for what we have going on here. So to all those who don't want to appreciate my national anthem and my flag, split. Sure, the world will take you somewhere.
You know, if you want to go back to things that we have here that I guess I can't say for sure, most places don't, but something that stands out to me that we definitely do have is if you think about what happens a little bit after 4th of July is the state fairs. And our state fair and the state fair food, holy cow. Who else, where else in the world can you go and get fried butter and a fried Oreo and fried Pepsi?
Get you a damn 9-pound funnel cake.
There you go. If you aren't diabetic going in, you're going to be diabetic going out, just saying.
There's something that you touched on there that maybe ought to be mentioned. I'm not taking shots, to be clear. But for a nation with a lot of claims of inequality, there's a lot of rampant morbid obesity running around. People are definitely not doing without. I'm just saying.
No, absolutely not. No, that's a very good point. You know, when obesity and diabetes and heart disease is running causes of American deaths, that definitely speaks for something. It's not starvation. It's not scurvy. It's not disease. You know what I mean? It is
I'm there. You mentioned something, and I just wonder how many people even remember the meaning of the word scurvy. Does anybody remember actually what the cause of that was?
I don't know what the cause was.
I'm sorry, Todd.
It stemmed from the lowest common denominator description is like a vitamin C deficiency. They weren't eating their fruits and veggies and stuff like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, and it's a poverty-based illness. You know what I mean? And it's And if you stop and look at a lot of the things we have going on out here, and this is another thing I've said a lot of times, is whenever somebody in another country that's important comes down with an illness, namely your cancer and heart diseases and all that kind of stuff, where do they get flown to? The United States. And incidentally, how did they get here? They flew. You know who invented the plane? The United States. So, did we make things a little better? Possibly. I say it with arrogance. You know, it is, though. I mean, it's that kind of stuff that people leave on the table, you know, and when people don't get their way, I think that somehow or another we've dropped the ball in society to where people aren't allowed to feel the feeling of loss. And it's when you lose, it's when you learn how to win better, if you understand my meaning. And if you always get your way just by stomping on the floor and making the most noise in the damn room, that's not what American values is all about. It's about working hard. It's about putting your best foot forward. It's about living responsibly, living respectably, and being good people. And you know, it's again, those ones that make the most racket, would lead you to believe that everybody's like that, but I say not. I say that is the 2%. So, but yeah, do any other places have fairs like that? I'm sure they got to have something like that, but I mean, are they as grandiose as we have, you think?
Yeah, I absolutely have no idea, but I know that it screams to me, you know, when you think of things like Independence Day or just, you know, whatever, all that stuff is kind of tied together right in there. And, you know, for what it's worth, the county fairs are going on right now. So there you go. It lines up with the 4th. But just, yeah, I can't imagine anybody else fries Pepsi. I don't know. I've heard some stuff that's out there, though.
I know in Japan they'll fry anything that come out of the water. I know that much. That's I've fallen victim to that one a few times.
Now, wait,
wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You're talking about a place that'll fry anything that come out of the water. You've been to Louisiana, right?
Yeah, that's true. Same thing, man. It's anything that'll move will get fried. Of course, here in the Carolinas, we're pretty good about frying stuff, too. So, I mean, hey. Now, Stro, you've been out and about and out of this country. What kind of stuff have you noticed about other countries that kind of makes you look around and go, hey, I'm ready to get back to the States?
Well, you know, I've been to some places where it's like real third world. And, I mean, the people were really nice. Don't get me wrong. It was just, you know, what they're having to endure and go through with the environment and everything. And you know, poverty, mass poverty on the streets, and some places where you have to take malaria pills to even function or digest food, if you will, certain parts of the world and all that. So, I mean, it's the little things that we really take for granted here. You know, it's a lot of what you all mentioned, as well as certain freedoms and rights that we have here that we certainly wouldn't have in other countries. And it's just that, like, the places I've traveled, you know, it just, every time I get back home, I so appreciate being here that much more. And, you know, thank God that I'm able to stay here and be an American and live the way we live.
Yeah, no doubt. My brother, before COVID hit, with him being a global IT executive, they send him around the world to set up these networking systems and everything. And he had gone to a particular city, which will remain nameless,
But it was so bad where he was staying that they would have to rent a different car. It was him and two other guys, and they would have to rent a different car every day and take a different route to the place they were going every day for fear of being mugged. And, you know, me, I bitch about the traffic going to work. At least I don't have to worry about getting, you know, well, I say that, of course, you know, there's carjackings out there, but it's nothing like in these other countries. But, yeah, just the thought of the simple things that we take, you know, take for granted. How many times have we been cooking and, you know, needed something and said, oh, crap, you know, I don't have, you know, a can of green beans. And you just run down to the Dollar General. You run in there, grab a couple cans of green beans, and you run out, and you're back, and you're cooking. And the darndest thing about it is you go and you buy those green beans without cash. You use cards. You use phones. You use checks to pay for these items. And, I mean, even the ability to pay for things without having cash, my God, you know, it's just something else, you know what I mean, when you stop and think about it. And, again, I'll push the whole thing that the United States is only 245 years old. 245 years. And, I mean, if you look at a lot of the things that's come out of this country, you know, cars, airplanes, medicine, phones, you know, computers, all the technology, for God's sake. You know, there's your what if. Let's just say the United States, let's just say the colonists had lost the American Revolution. I'm sure that we'd still be under British rule. So all of us would be still toting a British accent, for one thing, like the British lady at the end. So we wouldn't be cracking jokes about the British lady while we're doing the podcast, because we would talk just like her, because we'd all still be toting the British accent. You know, how far back would we be had we lost the American Revolution? You know, and I say we speak British. Maybe, perhaps, had we lost the American Revolution, another power would have come ahead, whipped the British's ass, and guess what? We'd have been speaking another language. So there's a lot of what-ifs out there that, you know, can come to mind when you think about the sacrifice and the importance of the American Revolution and, you know, just how much it meant. That's why I have a problem with folks not standing still for that 93-second song called the National Anthem. And it's a very small thing to ask. You remove your cover, you lock eyes on the flag, and you listen to that song, 93 seconds. In exchange, you could pretty much be the biggest dirtbag on the planet and still get away with it. That's why you need to appreciate those three things, you know. So, that's me and my soapbox.
And the irony is that some of those million-dollar athletes that can't stand and respect the flag like that, if they were in a different country, they probably wouldn't have that income.
Yeah, I mean, where else would they be who they are? I mean, there's not an NFL anywhere else. There's not an NBA anywhere else. There's not an NHL or an MLB anywhere else. Hell, for crying out loud, Stroh. There's not a pro wrestling anywhere else. All that kind of stuff is here. And then, you know, for granted, you know, you've got other places where they're picking up. I mean, like the Turks play basketball, and, you know, you've got your soccer and all that kind of jazz going on. But soccer players, well, maybe not up until the last 5 years, are laying down the bucks that American athletes are. So, again, you know, if you can't stand still for 93 seconds and roll around in your head that all those millions of dollars that you have only happens here, the hell with you. You know, it's you've got to learn to appreciate it. And there's a lot to appreciate here. That's for damn certain.
Well, they got to go with the, again, it's the country, the, okay, let's use this since it's Olympics related that started this tangent. The, you ever, there are certain countries, their Olympic legends are still celebrated, absolutely. But there's some places where the Olympic athletes have disappeared, or if the legends ever stood up and spoke out, they disappeared, or were disappeared,
yep,
more accurately.
Yep.
And that's the thing here. They may get a yin-yang from the public, but they're allowed to. They're not being disappeared.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, who was it? And, Todd, I'm sure you can back me up this. It was Saddam Hussein's boys, Uday Hussein, Hey Hey, and the two main Yeah, the ones that are they're no longer with us regardless. But one of them, if I recall, executed his Olympic – the decathlon team, if I'm remembering right, because they didn't medal. I mean, holy crap. You want to talk about some pressure. You know, get your ass in there, win a gold, get a bullet. Choice is yours. Makes what Tanya Harding did a lot less, you know, impactful, but...
Except
no, you're
somebody
absolutely.
Else's
still to this day, she claims she had nothing to do with it, believe it or not. That she was the kind of like the kind of like when John Hinckley shot President Reagan and he said he did it for Jodie Foster. That's how she claims that Galilee guy did everything on his own and she had nothing to do with it. I'm going, all right, okie dokie.
The last documentary I saw, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The documentary I saw, she looked like garbage too. What's
yeah.
the face? The girl... Good Lord, why is her name escaping me?
Kerrigan.
Yes, thank you, Nancy Kerrigan. The one that she hit, you know, she doesn't look like she's aged a bit, at least what I
yeah.
saw. But good Lord, Tanya Harding, ooh, the years have not been kind to her.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, here's a Todd tangent. Okay, and that could have, she could have aged that way because of guilt. Or because that guilt was foisted
yeah.
on her because she really did have one of those fanboys that was ridiculous.
I would agree with both of those.
I don't know. I got to be honest with you. It's one of those things where, God, I can't remember the old catchphrase. There's a quote about in times of trouble, a real man's character comes to the top or comes to the surface or whatever.
Right.
To be quite honest with you, if she wasn't directly involved with it, I would picture her becoming a pillar of responsibility. I would picture her becoming the new poster child.
Wait, I wasn't really trying to proclaim her innocence or anything. Just letting you know.
No, but you're right, though, and you bring up a very good point, is that it's, you know, regardless of what side she was on it, she certainly hasn't done anything with herself to improve her situation, right? So, you know, with all that being said, you got to kind of lean towards the old, you know, what was the old Bugs Bunny? Pal Rocky was in this oven. Would I turn the gas on? You might, Rabbit. Yeah, she's, and when I throw a lit match in there.
Maybe my favorite of all those little Bugs Bunny scenes or whatever, it's curtains for you, Rocky. Oh, they're adorable.
Yeah. And then he had the big guy with him. I can't remember, Bugsy. They used to hit the, hey, Rocky. Yeah. Hey, there's another good call, though. Where the hell else they got Bugs Bunny? It's American. And you know what the thing is, and here I go on my American tangent again, is that, again, America's only 245 years old. The rest of the world had all kinds of time to do neat stuff. The rest of the world had all kinds of time to invent stuff. And they didn't. It happened here. Film. Cartoons. My God, if it wasn't for America, we would never have Uncle Pecos. Could you imagine a world without Uncle Pecos?
Yeah, well, I still could have lived without SpongeBob, but that's me.
That's because you're too Squidward for your own good. You know that, right?
It's just, I was having a conversation the other day with my brother and his wife, and I mentioned, you know, they got away with some stuff in the Bugs Bunny cartoons. You stop and you think about this. At the end of the one where Witch Hazel and the Hansel and Gretel, and she turned herself into the hot female rabbit, and he goes, I know, but aren't they all inside? Oh, my God, how would that go over today?
Yeah, for all the times that Elmer Fudd dressed up, you know, or Bugs Bunny dressed up as a female to attract Elmer Fudd, you know, and it's never spoken about his sacrifice, you know, what he does to get things.
Oh, it's funny. Well, I'll just go with Willem Dafoe and Boondock Saints.
Ah, yeah, good call. He was great in that movie. He was awesome. But, yeah, here in the United States, man, it's just there's so much out there that we have to so much we have to appreciate. You know, are there flawed things? Yes, there are. I mean, sure. But, again, there's flawed things everywhere you go, all right? And, you know, we've alluded to going to foreign countries and everything and seeing stuff. You know, foreign countries are still peeing in the streets. And here we are arguing over which bathroom we should use. You know, at least we have them. And, again, we've got the smallest amount of time, you know, in grade. And, I think folks just kind of miss the basics, so to speak. And it's real easy to gripe, and it's real easy to cry and say, woe is me and everything. But if you stop and look, and you get off your woe is me thing, you'll find that there's a whole hell of a lot of good going on around here. And it just gets under my skin when folks don't appreciate the blessings that we do have. And, you know, hey, blessings, there's another good one. You can practice any religion you want here. I mean, you know, hell, we have goth. You know, I mean, Hot Topic is a company built around that whole mentality. So nowhere else can you get away with that stuff. Hell, that was the whole reason why, not the whole reason, but part of the reason why we wanted to break away from the monarchy in the first place. Religious persecution. You know?
Most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. I was just thinking, Papa Stro, I was thinking that, you know, he could chime in on some of this stuff. Man, dude, I know you've been places and seen some things. You've been, okay, and I know for sure our mutual friend, Susan Green, has been places where it was about what they could wear when they went walking around the streets or even actually wrestle in a live event. How about some of those crazy restrictions that we just don't have here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, especially, things are going on today in different parts of the world. You know, we're just, you know, a lot of parts of the world are still dealing with the pandemic and everything. And we're, you know, our country is, turning the milestone, if you will. And, once again, eventually having live events again and everything like that. So, we're really fortunate to have that, and because, you know, other parts of the world are still struggling with what we went through already. So that alone is a blessing for us in the U.S. to be able to get back to doing things that we enjoy doing and the freedom of doing so.
Yeah, I mean, even without the COVID, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's
the heck.
You know, it's a very good point.
Interesting tangent.
You know,
our COVID
how we're able to, look at the events, for crying out loud. You know, how we're able to gather the way we do, and it's not forced. I think that's another thing that a lot of Americans miss, is that there's an awful lot of room for Americans to be clowns if they want to, or to be difficult to get along with, you know, get along with if they want to. You know, there's other places that you have to be at certain places at certain times, and they don't want to hear about how your kids are sick or how you're not feeling it or how you don't have enough gas to get there. Yes, better be there or you're out of luck. So, it's just, I don't know, it's mind-numbing sometimes to see how people just lose the basics on what freedom means. And it's a continual fight, you know, that we have to continue to battle to have these liberties. And perhaps there are people out there that aren't willing to do it, that are willing to accept what's given to them and don't want something better. But, you know, for me, good old American resolve means they want something better. And I'm one of them.
And it's sad that some people want to go against the freedoms that we have, and they think that they have it so rough, which if they only knew, if how people have in different parts of the world and how really fortunate they really are to have what they have. Someone said recently in an interview that really made a lot of sense. It was like, you know, you can have ups and downs in your life where, you know, you wish you could have had this or could have had that, or maybe you should have done this or should have done that. But honestly, I mean, you're living in the greatest country in the world, and just use what you have and make 110 the most of it. And we, as Americans, have the freedom to do so. So, you know, be who you are and be the very best you can be. Have the freedom to do that in the United States. It's the greatest feeling in the world. And in my estimation, we are still the great, like I mentioned before, still the greatest country in the world to do so. And other countries look up to us to, we're like the beacon of hope to the world. So that really says a lot.
Seriously. Very much so.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of audio again. You guys still with me?
I am.
Yes,
something Stroh said earlier.
Okay, cool.
My head. The Stroh talked about how a lot of places are still suffering with the COVID thing and all that. You know, there's countries that have been playing very much like the max COVID rules their entire existence. Just a thought.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Just a thought. That's insane. Here's this. How about this? Granny talked about how she traveled from point A to point B, crossed multiple state lines, all this stuff. She didn't have to show papers or this or that, although our government's discussing options that we're going to have to start showing papers. Just a thought.
Wow. Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about, you care to elaborate on that, Todd? I haven't even heard anything about that.
The COVID ID vaccination stuff, that is papers.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, my fear is I think all over
well, yeah.
start
yeah, and that's
figuring
part
out
of
how
what
to monitor
the gripe
people.
Is.
I'm wondering if that was a moment where Dave couldn't hear the thing, so he just jumped out.
Yeah, I think
so. Go ahead,
Tim. Well, no, I was just going to say, I mean, it's kind of a stretch for a tangent here, but, you know, it makes me curious as far as down the road, you know, there's a bunch of sci-fi movies out there like this where, you know, government could really go all out at some point, you know, and start really tracking. And I guess I'm not talking like, you know, bizarre sci-fi like barcodes and crap like that. I'm talking about, like, cameras at intersections and stuff that they kind of already have, but... you know, I mean, at some point, they could start tracking car speeds, things like that. You know, I mean, we never know how far away that is. But getting back to your point, yeah,
well,
I mean, just
well,
think
no,
of...
No. Actually, that's fairly old in the sense of, I'll tell you one, I know somebody did a permanent change of station move when they were in the military, and they told the truth exactly about how long it took them to drive across country. And there was a comment on their travel claim that mentioned about what their average mile per hour was to cover that distance.
Wow.
But yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. Now let me throw something out here about an intersection thing. I don't know, Tim, I haven't noticed it here. And Papa Stro and Dave, I don't remember it in North Carolina, and I just may have been being oblivious. But in Ohio, in one city that I know of, they have these little lights at, like, major intersections that sit across the, you know how they got the big poles and they got all the lights going across from them, from the horizontal bar. They have an extra little gizmo light up top, and it will either flash or hold, even change your color if there's, like, emergency vehicles coming through. Anybody
yep,
see that?
Yep, they've got them here, too. Yep. Yep, there's just,
yeah.
It's like a single bar. It's like a vertical bar right in the middle, and there's a light there in the middle of it, and they'll flash white. They have those here.
Really? That's pretty cool. Yes.
Yep. So once they start flashing, sure enough, you can roll your window down and you'll hear a car. You'll hear a fire truck or emergency vehicle or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, and I will say that they do already, you know, like you said, Todd, it is old technology because I don't know. I feel like I've seen them somewhere locally. I don't know, maybe as a trial or something, but I think it's Georgia that I've been, and they actually do have cameras already at intersections, supposedly to track to get the people who run red lights. So, but, you know, I think that at some point, just think of, like, how many people now videotape everything. We have dash cams, so everything everywhere is being recorded, you know. And I think, and yeah, we really went off on a tangent here.
Oh, yeah, it's very 1984, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that kind of stuff is just going to increase. Well, what led to that is you were talking about Granny going from state to state. And, again, I'm ignorant here. I'm not prior military, nor have I, you know, like, I'm not a military brat, so I've not jumped from country to country or anything like that. But I can't think of many other places that have individual states that are each, you know, pretty much for the most part, they're known for something. Or they have, you know, I mean, obviously they've got state mottos, things like that, but it's usually tied to something that state's known for. And it's wild to, you know, think of our country as just that one area where you can, depending on which state you're in, you're going to see something different. I mean, look at all the, look, going from, and again, yes, I get it, you can go to a lot of other countries and it would be the same thing, I'm sure, but think of, you know, if you start off from the East Coast or whatever, or, you know, think about the four corners of the country, quote-unquote corners. You know, if you traveled to each one of them and visited places in between, just think of all the differences from A to Z, man. Talk about Alpha to Omega. But, you know, and again, I'm sure, you know, I've not traveled the world, so I'm sure you have many wonderful places, and there's places I'd like to travel to see, but, you know, I can't think of anything where you just have a bit of everything like that all slapped into one melting pot of a country.
Yep, the guys, I hate to say it, we only got 15 minutes and change left.
Yeah, I'm, truth be told, with the audio issues and everything, I want to apologize to you guys for the quality of the show tonight, because I know we've walked on one another a couple times by accident and everything, and it's all over this bad audio, and I have a hard time believing that it's all of us being in the wrong spot to get a signal. There's got to be something perhaps with the host that's not getting done correctly and not helping us out here with the audio this evening. So, yeah, it might be best we go ahead and pass it around and euthanize tonight's show in the bad audio and it does. It sucks,
all right,
man. I am really And here I go, being that entitled American. I'm bitching about the audio on a podcast. So
there you go. There you go. But here for the pass around, Let's do some nutshell summaries of how we plan to celebrate this 245th year of independence.
I'll start off with mine is the most boring.
Okay.
For you.
Run with it. I was going to hit Papa Stroh, but run with it.
Well, just because I'm the most boring, so I want to set the bar low. This past weekend, my son had a party here at the house, so that was kind of we kind of considered that our 4th of July because they, you know, had fireworks at the end. So I don't know what we're going to do. My kids are bugging me about fireworks, so I may end up spending a few bucks, but there's going to be the older kids, they're going to their dads, their biological dads, so they're not going to be here, so it'll be the four of us. And I'm just not quite sure what I want to do to make the 4th stand out. So we'll figure out something. We got to celebrate the Independence Day that it is. But, yeah, man, a lot of it is TBD. On to the next one. Something more exciting, please.
Yeah, do it on the fly, man.
Yeah. Love it. Papa Stroh, what are you doing? Are you doing anything wild, spectacular, and explosive?
Well, leading up to 4th July weekend, tomorrow night, WCW Retro podcast on VSedation.com at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of discussion will be about the NWO click from WCW. So anybody has any cool NWO moments and memories, we'll call in tomorrow night. And Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. The feature will be Hands of a Stranger. So please tune in. And as far as the 4th July weekend goes, just awesome R&R with the family, the folks, and the relatives, and just enjoying celebrating grateful July holiday that it is.
Awesome.
Outstanding.
That is, that's a thing. I'm going to...
So, Todd, did you get by the boom room?
Oh, you know I did. The man, y'all, just a quick reminder on the boom boom room story. It's a local fireworks place. I bought $15 worth of stuff there, sparklers, the little snakes. You guys remember those little poppets, the little, the spitwads looking things that the kids can throw down and they pop up, you know, they make a little noise and stuff like that for some friends' kids. And sure enough, the wife saw the email receipt from the Boom Boom Room and called me and asked me, what the hell is that? True story. But I happened to go by the Boom Boom Room. I dropped a little more money maybe than I should have, but I got all kinds of good stuff. And there's things I missed out on. Like they have 150-shot Roman candles. Can you believe that stuff? So,
wow.
Annual fireworks story. The go back circa, I don't know, I'm going to say something like 76. Imagine somebody wearing a pair of those, a cut-off pair of jeans that were left over from the bell-bottom hippie multicolored jeans. So you got green, purple, and white stripes running down this thing. Well, actually, as I was, I want to say they were orange and purple. And the guy's got his pocket full of firecrackers. And he'll pull them out, he'll light one and throw it, boom, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And then there is a younger brother, younger than me, takes one of those ye old blue tip heavy duty match stoves, you know, the ye old wood stove matches, and drops it in his pocket. And those jeans back then were made heavy duty.
Wow.
Dude, it blew the shorts right off of him. He's still got scars from that one. And so we're intending to actually have the three of us get together this year. And I'm bringing $150 worth of fireworks. My other brother's got a stash. I've already left a small stash at the other place. What could possibly go wrong? But that doesn't mean we're not doing our risk assessments. We have the platform, and we're going to use the cinder blocks to hold the mortar tubes for stability and all that kind of stuff, so you don't get those random angled shots that, you know, go into the open hatch in the back of somebody's vehicle. I've already decided that I'll keep most of the fireworks in the back of my vehicle, but I'll keep my hatch closed except when I'm going in and out. We're not doing one of those things where a random shot will go in the back of my vehicle and that will be the firework. I'm avoiding that one. You know, we're doing all the safety stuff. I already know how we are.
Do you know how many jokes I want to make about risk assessment right now, Todd? Sorry.
Yeah, dude, I know. I know. Jim, as you and I know, they are never complete. Oh, my goodness. But that's clearly, I've clearly gotten much older. Just by virtue of the fact that we're doing all this little thinking ahead. I mean, you know, I thought I was doing good when I had the kids and I had a bucket to put the old metal sparklers in. You guys remember the old metal, the little metal base for all the sparklers? I mean, now they got the nice wooden one so that you're not holding something that's just, you know, 240 degrees or whatever the old ones were. But, you know, I had old buckets of water back then and stuff like that for the kids. It's just, yeah, I mean, good gracious. They may not have the fun we had when I was a kid, but there'll be a lot less visits to the emergency room.
Yes. I totally agree.
Did you ever used to light the sparklers right in the middle?
Say again, Tim?
I was asking if anyone ever used to light the sparklers right in the middle so that you could watch them go to both ends, like it would basically split up and then burn to both ends.
Oh, no. Russian roulette with the underground. Now I'm going
to
have to try
that all the time.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, do as we say, not as we do. Just saying.
Have you ever laid a bottle rocket flat on the ground and lit it?
Yes. Guilty. Guilty.
And, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate living on the edge, dude. You have no idea where that thing's going to go off. And when I was a teenager, of course, the sergeant major was overseas, so it was a little safer for me. But a buddy of mine did that in the middle of the street right there on Wide Oak Boulevard. And that thing started spinning around. And I remember running off the street, and on the side of my folks' front yard, there's a one of those little power boxes thing. This little, you know, like 4x4 metal box. It says high voltage, you know, stay away, and we all sit on it. Well, that thing lit up. I dove behind that damn power box, and I'd be damned if that bottle rocket didn't ping right off the side of that thing and go up in the air. That would have been my entire ass had I not done the way I did.
Oh, yeah. There's a... Oh, man. You don't even want to know. I've got 3 mortar tubes ready to go, and I've got several of the double burst canisters. What could possibly go wrong?
No kidding. Now, I'll tell you another thing about the... what's the one? Is it a Roman candle where they give you the tube and you have a little ball and you put it in there? And it doesn't...
No, that's the mortar.
That's a mortar. Okay. Well, we were all drinking at my second man's place out there in Sneed's Ferry. And there's a place in Sneed's Ferry where there's a dirt road cut. And on the right-hand side, there's a bunch of trailers. But then on the left-hand side, there's like these huge beach houses. It's the damnest thing you'll ever see. But nevertheless, it's like two societies.
No, that's much of the Crystal Coast there.
Yeah. So, of course, I'm on the broke side, and we're all out there grilling, shooting the breeze, drinking, you know, carrying on well. Somebody breaks out fireworks, and my cleanup guy, this is back when I was running a meat shop, cleanup guy put mortar round in there and went poof and shot one right over the shoulder of my second man, right? So, of course, what does he do? He grabs him, shoots it back at my, and before you know it, we have this mortar war going on, right? Everybody's running, ducking for cover while these two guys are shooting mortars at one another. Well,
wow.
My cleanup guy whizzed one overhead. It bounced across the street and rolled right under this brand new Mercedes, white Mercedes convertible. And I mean, and stopped right under the rear axle. And what's there at the rear axle on most cars? The gas tank. And son, all of us were just totally drawn up. I mean, we were all diving. I mean, ducking for cover in a whole damn 9 yards. And I watched that thing sizzle, and I waited, and I waited. And I tell you, if there's no other reason to believe that there's a higher source.
There it is. Right there's your miracle.
That is exactly. Yeah. That thing turned out to be a dud. Had it not, oh, my God, I can only imagine the shit we would have gotten into.
Wow.
Yep.
Incidentally, I was in my late 30s when that happened, so I can't blame adolescents on that one. Yeah, damnest thing. I remember that like it happened yesterday. I was scared to death.
Boy, I tell you what, you learn when that moment happens, you find out whether you have a good sphincter muscle or not.
Yes, you do. That's why you always carry an extra set of drawers with you, no matter where you go. Hold them up, put them in the glove box. But since we're getting ready to go into overtime, I'll go ahead and wrap things up. The plan is here. I volunteered to work. I'm working out my last little bit, my part-time job, as my business is about to pick up, and I won't be able to do that any longer. And the young man they just hired to take my place, they had him scheduled on July 4th, and all I could think of was, my God, that guy's been on the job for 10 days, and if they put him by himself on July 4th, they'll have to find another guy. So I raised my hand, took one for the team, and volunteered to work with this young man on July 4th. So I'll be working on the 3rd and 4th, but my wonderful wife, Dale, will be off on that Monday. So the plan is to just make it through to dinner time on July 4th, come home, change clothes, and at which time our celebration will begin. And we'll enjoy the evening of the 4th and kind of have our grilling and celebration on the 5th while a lot of folks are going back to work. So, and one thing I would like to add about fireworks before we the part for this evening. You guys know I'm a big dog guy and everything, and there's dogs out there that don't like fireworks, okay? I'm going to ask the listeners out there, don't be that guy who asks everybody to shut the fireworks off so your dog is comfortable. Help yourself. Help you help your dogs. So look into certain methods of sedation, as I am doing. I'm going to...
I learned something about that today, as you know, by the way. So let me throw out here. Apparently, they have like a Velcro coat that you can put on dogs.
Summer jacket.
It's filled with the Velcro, and it gives them the feeling that they're being hugged. Because, you know, we're talking the same dogs that don't like a thunderstorm, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And we've talked about it before, and we were laughing about it. Because there's dogs that are out there that their stress level isn't the sheer noise. It's because they're waiting to go out there to find what they can retrieve and things like that. Even they have a different level of stress. I'll recognize that. But they're not, you know, they're not scared by it and that. But they have this cool constant hug jacket for dogs. And I think that is just kind of stinking neat.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are, they're excellent. And, of course, you know, one of my dogs, I got to go find one big enough to fit an obese human to get around her. But, yeah, that's definitely an alternative, those thunder jackets or thunder coats or something like that, they call them. I don't know if PetSmart has them or not. I'd have to look into it. But I am going to ask around because I heard that you can slip a dog melatonin, or you can slip them a, believe it or not, a Benadryl. I know dogs, when they get stung by bees and that kind of stuff, the vet will tell you a lot of times to give the dog half a Benadryl or something to that effect. And we all know the wonderful effects of Benadryl. So, you know, look into it, folks, and don't expect everybody to stop being them so you can be you. So take care of your dogs, plan ahead, and as Todd alluded to, look into the thunder jackets, look into the medication, and put your dogs at ease. So in that way, they'll be at ease, and you can enjoy July 4th, and everybody's good to go, because I'm here to tell you, it would break my heart to think that I was enjoying July 4th and my dogs were having the worst night of their lives. There's no enjoyment with that. So take care of your dogs. If they're outside dogs, bring them in, you know, and give them a bath if it means that much. But bring them in. Take care of them. It's one night a year. So look out for your hounds and everything, because – they depend on you. That's nifty things about dogs. That's the reason why dogs love you unconditionally, is because dogs have to have you so they can be them.
Well, yeah,
so,
and just for the record, to correct something Dave said, that investment is a good investment because you're going to use it at least on New Year's as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, there's so many other uses, I mean, for crying out loud. You know, it's not only July 4th. I mean, folks around here shoot fireworks, hell, on, you know, August 18th. So it's good to have that around if you have construction going on around your house. We had tree surgeons across the street this week, and one of my dogs, she was having none of it. And, you know, all I could do was comfort her, and that's what I spent most of the morning doing, you know, making sure that she was at ease. But, yeah, you can have those things laying around. You get these freak thunderstorms and that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
You know, put them on.
Yeah, because you get those thunderstorms there in eastern North Carolina for sure.
Yeah, they'll rattle the glass right out your damn window. So, you know, think ahead. Take care of your animals because they always take care of you, so take the time to take care of them. So with all that said,
speaking of rattling glass, I'm going to throw this in there. I saw that they had these individual $3 a pop bang bangs at the Boom Boom Room that were promised to be loud. And I remember when I hit my first big fireworks warehouse and they were like, well, for your mortar tubes, do you want stuff that'll break windows? I was like, nah. Yeah.
We call it the Ella Fitzgerald.
Right? So I gave
that
one of these babies a test run the other night. And all I can tell you is I took it far enough away for I was like, I'm not doing it on the porch. Because I don't want to have, not in this neighborhood, I don't want my, you know, I don't want just duct tape holding my doggone, my security measure for my sliding glass patio doors. I took it far enough out and I tried to find that happy space between the vehicles and the apartments and stuff. Several car alarms went off. I'm just saying.
Oh, hell. Well, you get your hands on an old M80.
These are way closer to the H100s. I think they're the 1.4 gram civilian use maximums.
Holy crap. Yeah, those will rattle your damn gums right there, man. Good God.
Oh, my ears were ringing a little bit.
Just a little bit. Well, with that, gang, I am going to go on in there, cut off tonight's show. And again, I apologize to my wonderful colleagues and to those of y'all listening about the bad audio tonight. I have no idea what's going on. Hopefully it'll come around because it sure does make for a choppy evening. I apologize to everyone for the rough flow of things tonight. But, gentlemen, I appreciate you joining me. Want to wish all of you guys a very safe July 4th. God bless this country. And if you don't understand that, pack. Enough said. So God bless America. I'm going to walk my ass in the Atwell Manor.
While you're doing that, Granny, we know you went to go sack out early. Love you, hon. And, as always, stay safe, people. Big hugs. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another.
Happy 4th. Happy 4th.
Absolutely. What?
Waiting for
good
Dave
to have you,
the British lady.
Yeah, the old salty British lady that's about to celebrate the big L 245 years ago. So here she is. Cue us in, obnoxious British lady. Happy 4th, all.